Welcome to the Got Your Six podcast. This podcast brings together current service members and veteran high performers to share their methods, strategies, and ideas delivered in an informative and, most importantly, actionable way that'll help you lead yourself and those around you from the battlefield to the boardroom. Coming to you every episode, I'm your host, Tony Nash, and into the breach.
Nothing mentioned on this podcast is an endorsement or opinion of the Department of Defense.
I got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. Got your six, we got your back. I got your six.
Sixers, what an unbelievable treat. He's here. But before I introduce our guest, I want to talk about something real quick. There comes a time where you need to find a creative outlet. Sometimes that could be in drawing, you know, working out, writing, whatever, or maybe even writing music. But what happens if you wrote a song that your favorite country music singer sang that you wrote? That's where our guest, Richard Casper, comes in, co-founder and executive director of Creative Vets. Richard, thank you so much for coming on the Got Your Six podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me and great intro.
Just call like I see it. But I also do have to say, this is a monumental episode for me because now I can officially say I'm 2 degrees away from Kevin Bacon.
Yes.
If you want to talk about that a little, real quickly.
Oh, yeah. Just a weekend ago, I was up in New York and I was honored with to be in the top 10 for CNN Heroes of the Year. And each one gets a celebrity or an artist that comes out and gives their little intro. You don't know who it is until you get there and you're seated. And I was just sitting there waiting for my turn. And all of a sudden, Kevin Bacon walks out and gives his whole intro on me. Then I feel like if it was still like the early 2000s, I'd make it my ringtone. but it was just amazing and had spent some time with him backstage. And he's actually written a lot of music his whole life. And him and his brother have a band and everything. So he said he's going to try to get involved with what we do. So that was super awesome.
What a full circle moment from where this all started. Where did Creative Vets all kind of start?
It definitely started in my injuries in Iraq. So I was in Iraq from 2006 to 2007 in Fallujah. I was in the Marine Corps. Previous to this, I was training to go to Iraq with a unit called 2-7, where I met a whole bunch of awesome dudes. And then they picked about 18 of us to go to 1st Tank Battalion under this 1st TOW unit because they had a boot drop, just a bunch of new Marines, but no leadership who's ever been overseas or anything. So they brought about 18 of us over there. So we deployed with the TOW unit. So we pretty much went from being ground infantry to mountain infantry. We had no idea how to use TOWs and everything. And honestly, we never even used one when we were over there. But I went over to Iraq, Fallujah. And within the first 4 months of me being there, my Humvee was blown up 4 separate times, causing an electromagnetic brain injury. And my buddy was shot and killed beside me. But he wasn't just my buddy. He was my gunner. I was the vehicle commander of the first truck. And he was in my gun when he was shot and killed. And so as most, veteran soldiers, Marines do, when we get back and we've suffered trauma, we usually just internalize it and just keep pushing forward and usually try to work our life away until we forget it all happened. But one day it usually always creeps back up. And for me, it was coming in different forms of anxiety and depression, mainly anticipation anxiety, like not being able to speak in front of people, not being able to go to job interviews. Honestly, I was becoming a recluse. And so it was his memory that I just kept saying, like, he was too good of a person to not talk about. But every time I try to talk about him, I cry. And I'm a 6'5" combat Marine at the time. I rode a Harley. I have tattoos. I had more sleeveless shirts than shirts with sleeves on it. I was an intimidating looking guy. And I just didn't want to cry in front of people. That was just my nature. And so I said, what if I had a song that I could just give to someone and walk away? That would get Luke's story out there, and it would satisfy us both. He would keep living through the song. I wouldn't have to cry in front of people, and it would be all good. And so I just went down this path of how do you write a song? How do you even get it out there? And while I was at community college, I was taking creative writing courses. My old friend, he was the lead singer of a band that I knew he did some songwriting, so I approached him about it. He lent me his roommate's guitar and taught me my first 3 chords on guitar. And I went to YouTube and just started rewriting parodies.
Before all this, so you wanted to write a song to remember Luke, but you didn't know how to play in a musical.
No, I didn't know how to play guitar.
Okay.
Yeah,
keep going. Nothing. That's what's so incredible about this.
Well, that's the thing too, is if you need to have a reason to want to learn. And I tried to learn guitar twice before Iraq. Well, actually one in Iraq when there was a guitar there and once prior. And it was pretty much just to impress chicks, like no other reason. I was just like, it'd be cool to have this skill. it wasn't until Luke died that I was like, I need to learn this because I need to be able to tell his story. So it became a real tool at that point. And so I'm doing like, I'm looking up song, like country songs, and doing funny parodies of them. Like Come Over instead of Come Over by Kenny Chesney.
Yeah. Like kind of like Weird Al style.
Exactly. Because it was teaching me how to do structure without going through a class. Like I was learning structures of songs or doing parodies. And
like Austin Keon talks about, like, you know, steal like an artist, where you copy from a lot of different people to kind of find your own patterns and recognition and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And so it just helped me out so much, kind of fully understand, but it still didn't put me in a place where I thought I was doing Luke's life justice, because it took about a year. I've transitioned from the art school in Bloomington, Illinois, which is a community college, up to one of the best art schools in the country in Chicago.
The School of Art.
Yeah, the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, where Walt Disney, George O'Keefe, yeah, all these big old artists went. And then I ended up going there. And I was not an artist either before war. So that's a whole nother crazy story. But I had this song after a year, but it didn't put him on the pedestal. And there was a lot of weird stuff in there. He didn't actually have a kid, but I like threw it in there for like, because I didn't know where I was going with it. And again, I was just a novice and I was like, I'm not sure what I'm doing. So while I was still going to school in Chicago, I met at the bar I bounced at, because again, I didn't need to go to an interview. I just walked in and they're like, hey, you're a big dude. You want a job? So I was like, sweet. But they had this writer's round up there of these songwriters from Nashville. And this one guy had like 8 number ones. And I just walked up to him and said, hey, have you ever written with or for a veteran before? And he said, actually, yeah, me and Billy Ray Cyrus wrote a song called Runway Lights about a staff sergeant in the Army coming home from war. And then I told him my story and I said, hey, I have so much inside me going on. I need to get out, but I can't do it by myself. If I come to you in Nashville, you write with me. And I mean, this was a long shot back. I was so naive. I did not understand the songwriting world, but he said yes to me. And it took years down the road to figure out like how big that really was. Because in Nashville, songwriters write every single day of the week, like Monday through Friday with multiple people. But when you're at Mark Irwin's level, he was the one that said yes to me, you don't even write with other writers with just one number one. Like you have to get into a room with him. A lot of things had to happen. You had to be in town for a really long time to do that. And he said yes to me, a random stranger in Chicago who just poured out my heart and soul. It was insane.
Yeah, just the level of that. It's like going to a Tom Brady and be like, I want to run routes with you real quick in the afternoon. That's the level we're talking about.
Yeah. Show me your spiral. No, that's what it was. And it was awesome because he gave me that. I traveled down there and we wrote a song and a half in like 3 hours. And so now you think I was working for a year on a song and we did one song and then moved on to another one all within 3 hour time span. And that's when it clicked. And I was like, there's something to this. These people are professionals in what they do. Why can't they take our stories and turn them into something beautiful? So when I go back home up to Chicago and I graduate from the school there in Chicago and I've written a song now, actually it was right before I graduated. I'm sitting here. I'm like, I'm back to almost normal. I had to do one-on-one speeches with my speech teacher because my anxieties and depression were so bad. And I used to throw up before class and have all these issues. But now I'm like back almost to normal. I truly don't believe everyone will be completely back to normal. Obviously, when you see trauma, you can't unsee it. But you can get back to being almost full operating system again. And that's where I was. I would be able to go to job interviews. I'd get anxieties, but not near as bad. And so I'm trying to process all this stuff. And I'm sitting here thinking like, well, what changed in me? Well, it was the telling my story without physically telling it. It was writing this music, doing this artwork. Okay, well, I spent 4 years now doing this. Can another veteran feel the same healing in just a 3-day process? Probably not, but I'm going to try it. And I reached out to my buddy who was in the Marine Corps, lost his leg and has burns over 60% of his body, hates talking about what he went through because it's a lot of physical, and it's like part of his ears missing and some of his face. So he obviously is a little bit more affected than someone just missing a leg because he has to like see people just stare at his face all the time. And so I was like, hey, would you come to Nashville with me if I paired you with like a number one songwriter and just told your story, but I would be with you the whole time? And he was like, yeah. The quickness of him saying yes to me was baffling because, again, he hates talking about it just like most veterans do. And I'm like, no, we're going to talk about some of these things you went through. He's like, yeah, dude, I love music. And if I get a chance to like be in a room with someone like that, I'm going to take advantage of that. I'm like, well, sweet. And so I just start working with him on like what he truly needs, not what he wants to write about, but what he needs to write about as a battle buddy who can like throw ideas off of him and like lead into being what he needs to talk about. And he came up with it and we went down there and we wrote his song in 3 hours. And I remember him coming out of this thing just being like, man, that did more for me than the last 6 years at the VA hospital. He's like, I can't even tell you. Then those things that he couldn't talk about, he texted the song about those things to his wife, to his family. Now his whole family's hearing his story for the first time. And I have his sister-in-law email me being like, I didn't even know the side of my brother. I didn't know that he thought these ways, but it's a way to communicate now. And ever since, he's still to this day plays guitar and writes music. And that was back in 2013 when we first launched. And from there, we've just scaled and expanded like crazy. Because we wrote at the back in the back of someone's house pretty much. Now we write backstage at the Grand Ole Opry. So we moved up a few levels.
You're on stage, you're at the CMAs, like everywhere. But taking, and there's something there when you take a medium and use it in a different way for therapy as opposed to just like a creative outlet, but you're very specific and tactical of who you're putting into that. What is that thought process for you after the fact? Because you're kind of, if you're sitting in the room, you're also taking on like the trauma and having to go through that. How do you kind of more or less release it after going through a writing session?
Well, I truly believe, so when I give my keynotes around the country, like one thing that is very consistent, I always say, if zero was killing myself and 100 was me before war, I was at a 9 when I discovered art and music, and now I'm at like a 95. But when I graduated that school, I was only at like an 85. That extra 10% came from helping other veterans tell their stories. Like there's a sense of service that we always have had. And now when we're re-going through these processes, it always trumps my emotional state when there's a veteran that comes out of it just like sending it to his family for the first time, just bawling, just being like, this is the greatest moment of my life, and sending it out there. And so over time, you get more prepared just like anything, like physically and mentally and emotional. And I've learned like my own emotional intelligence and how much I can handle. And it started where I'd just do one write and I'd be like kind of a zombie for a week because I had to relive my own experiences. But then I did it again. And then it'd be like 5 days, and I'd do it again, and it'd be like 3 days. And my recovery, just like working out, just got smaller and smaller to the point where 1 year I taught, this is insane, because when we do our art program, our songwriting program is 4 days now. Used to be 3 when I just ran it by myself, but our art program is 3 weeks long, so at least 21 days straight. I was teaching at Virginia Commonwealth University to 9 veterans I've never met before. And I fly them in. I book, do all that. I do my one-on-one conversations with them before they get there. Then when they get there, I do one-on-ones with them, asking them pretty much like, what's the one thing you can't tell your friends or family? We go deep for one whole day. I talk to every single one of them about all their issues. And I go through my issues with them just to set the tone. And I live in the dorms with them. And I teach the art class for 3 weeks. So I'm like the RA, the teacher, the friend, the battle buddy. And I went from 3 weeks of that, driving back to Nashville, and the veteran was already there for me to pick up and do a songwriting session with. And then when I dropped him off, I drove up, and 2 days later, I was teaching for 3 more weeks in Chicago at the school there in Chicago for that art program. And I tell you what, I was legitimately a zombie for a month straight. But I say that to say, I told my friends when I came home, I said, hey, you're going to see me go out with you, but I'm going to be doing the 1,000-mile stare. I'm okay. But that's how my body is processing this like reliving of the trauma and helping these veterans. So it gets so much easier as you relive it. It's like baby steps into it. What we're truly doing in these sessions, what people don't understand, and it's the one thing I hope everyone who's listening takes this away, you could repurpose memories. And how you do that is when you have something, like when Luke was shot and killed beside me, I remember the emotional impact, I remember the visuals, and I used to get all sad and cry and anxious, and that was my trigger. And like most of us have those kind of situations. If you can recall that same exact emotion you felt when he died, so like that super angry, depressed, shocked, but you can replace it with a new kind of emotional experience, you're going to remember that one. For example, I go into a writing session with you and I'm sitting here talking about Luke and his life and how he died and how like I'm so sad about it and I can't really live without like telling people the story and all this stuff. And then we write a song backstage at the Grand Ole Opry with a Jimmy Allen or a Drake White or a Craig Morgan or something. And then when we're out of the session and I'm so excited that I'm like texting it to everyone, I've now repurposed that memory. So the next time, say 6 months down the road, when I think about Luke, I actually think about the writing session because you think about the last time you brought it up. And now I've repurposed that because that was a happy memory I left with. That was like a long way around it. It's probably an easier way to explain it, but you can legitimately repurpose memories.
Because when you have something that is traumatic, you can recall that experience in every sense, right? You can taste it. You can smell it. You can feel it. You can hear it. You can see it. like instantly. And now you've started to attach so many other, like you said, positive memories to it. And it's not just you, it's the other people and the other veterans that you're helping, as well as the songwriters.
Oh, yeah. Songwriters say it helps them more than helps. They don't understand it, but they say, this helps me more than help the veteran. And I'm like, I understand where you're coming through from, but I guarantee you it helped them more. And one of the veterans I explained this to about repurposing the memory, he called me. It was probably 4 months later. He's like, dude, Richard, this is weird. He's like, I was just thinking about my buddy who we wrote the song about, and I wasn't sad. I kind of feel weird because I'm not sad or anything. I just kind of feel, I don't feel numb. I just don't really feel anything. I was like, this is it. Your brain is legitimately remapping the way it remembered that situation because you're thinking about the experience you wrote about. And that's what's awesome. And he also said, the one coolest thing about this is I could just, before, you have to keep these stories in you. Like, I never want Luke to die, like, again, so I need to keep talking about him. But if I forget that situation, then he will. So all of us keep our trauma inside of us because we, even though it's painful, we don't want to lose it. But when you have a song, this is what he said. Chris was like, now I legitimately just put it on a shelf and I forget about it because I always know now it's like in a safe. I could just go back to it if I want to. I was able to take it out of my body and put it on this shelf and I can go listen to that anytime I want now. So my body's been able to forget it.
The other thing too is like, we already do this on a day-to-day basis. You go to a wedding, you hear a song with your friends or whoever you're there with, you're going to go back to whatever that memory of that song, the last memory of the song, right? Whether it's the cha-cha slide or you hear a song in the car from when you were in high school, whatever. But we're constantly using music to kind of encapsulate time in our life consistently.
Honestly, when you said that, this is weird, but I had this like 88 Camaro with T-tops when I was in high school. And I still remember it was a beautiful summer, springy day. And it was one of those roads where like the tree canopy goes over it, like where it's almost like a perfect tunnel cutout, but little spots of sun. And Drops of Jupiter by Train was playing. And like for me to remember that one specific time, like I had to feel so good because the song and the emotion of the song enhanced with the visuals that I was seeking in the car and the exposure to like the wind. Like that was in my brain. So every time I hear that song, it goes back to that memory. And that's why it's so easy to relate it to what we're doing with is you get the worst thing out of you, but put it into a happy moment where you have a song. Even if it's a sad song, you're still pumped because you just accomplished writing a song with the number one writer backstage of the Opry and you want to share it with everyone.
What you just said is so grandiose, right? Somebody hears that and things like that's impossible. That can't happen. Because there's people along the way that just, for whatever reason, can't see it. How along the way have you been able to kind of like prove yourself right, where you've kind of suffered a failure or a setback and been like, this is the direction we need to keep going. I'm going to take this one on the chin, but I'm going to learn from it and continue to grow out Creative Vets.
For me personally, because what I do in the art and music program, I call it transitioning your warrior brain to your artist brain. So I'm not trying to make you an artist or make you a songwriter. I'm just giving you those tools so that you could use those when something bad happens. Because we're all gonna have traumas later down in life. Someone's gonna die close to us. You might go through a car accident. Something really bad might happen. And so these tools are supposed to help you with that. And for example, when I was still going to school at the school during Chicago, so I wasn't all the way fully healed, but I knew enough about art and music. I was writing my own songs now. I already wrote with Mark Irwin. I was understanding a little bit about this. My sister was stabbed by her ex. Like, he broke into the house, stabbed her in the chest. The only reason she survived was because like my 19-year-old cousin, female cousin, came out and hit him in the head with like a 9-iron or something like that. And then It was just a crazy scenario. But he also threw like my nine-month-old nephew at the time on the ground when he did that. And like, this is a crazy story. Like, I won't go into the extreme details, but she almost died. But when I hear that as a warrior, you typically, this isn't, and they're in Louisville, I'm in Chicago, as my warrior brain was like, I'm going to go down there and kill this dude because he was still alive. Like, I'm going to go kill him. My artist brain was like, well, why did that happen? And then I was like, well, she was dumb for being like, to keeping him on. Like, as long as he was toxic. Then I started thinking like, why did she do that? And then I started thinking, well, did she ever look for a sign from God and it wasn't there? Then I was like, what if I could write a song called This Is Your Sign? And then anybody in her situation, when they're dealing with this, might hear my song at the right moment and get out of a relationship, saving them from what happened to her. Yeah. And then I wrote that song in like 15 minutes called This Is Your Sign. And that completely reset me. And I was able to just drive down to Louisville and spend time with her. Like, legitimately, all my anger and everything went away for the dude. Like, I was still obviously pissed, but my warrior brain, like, deactivated as my artist brain took over and created something special out of such a tragedy.
That's incredible. The whole situation is just, like you said, it's crazy. But, like, to be able to kind of be able to shift from that very much trained, right, to do what you do as a Marine, to then be able to transition over. What other tools along the way have you been kind of, you've kind of taken on as you've built and continue to grow your artist brain along the way?
Well, I mean, I learned a lot from the veterans who come through. It's like everything that, even how they interpret some of my artwork and music, and then how I've seen theirs and the stuff that they come up with. And I'm like, damn, I should have thought of that. It's weird because they're always constantly rethinking new ways to tell the same story. Like the new ways of talking about my friend who died, new ways of talking about brain injuries, new ways of talking all these things. So being consistently in it, I learned something pretty much every time I work with veterans and just keep taking away from it. That keeps me going up, and it keeps me realizing, because a lot of time now that I have a team of people, I don't work nearly as one-on-one with the veterans, and you get so far removed that you start thinking, like, does this actually work? Are we still helping veterans? And then you get these texts and these emails and these people who are just, I got a Facebook message from a Vietnam veteran, never been through our program, who just said, in the message, it said, Charlie F and Mike, I just found out about your music. I started listening to it. I spent 18 years in the military. I was in Vietnam. Your music is helping my PTSD so much. And I'm sitting here thinking, he's not even in our program and he's being healed by our music that's created. So, I mean, there's like, I learn something new every day about our music, about our veterans, about myself. And it's just, I've never been in a better place than I am now. And it's honestly just because all the veterans and how much they give back and the people who are willing to take a chance and a risk with art, especially arts. It's hard to take a risk doing full-on art program kind of stuff, especially if you're a masculine veteran. I could understand where songwriting would be a lot easier. But, man, those are the real deal people who are willing to be like, you know what? I do need help, and I've never done this before, and I feel like it's going to be stupid, but I'm going to try it. And then they do it, and it's life-changing.
It's out of the box. So people are like,
yeah.
There's really no preconceived notions of going. It's not like a group therapy session or something where you're like, all right, I just got to sit around and kind of.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one thing we make sure we don't do. I know what it's like to be at the bottom of the barrel. I'm not going to go to group. I didn't want to go to group in the first place. I never would have went. I needed to have a battle buddy. I was poor. I needed it to be paid for. I needed my anxiety and depression to be outweighed by excitement. That's the only thing that got me out of places. Everyone who's listening to this who has extreme debilitating anxiety, there's one thing that'll get you out of the house. No matter if it's like your favorite artist or a gaming seminar, or like there's something that you will leave the house for. Maybe Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know what it is, but if you realize that there's something that changes, you'll start realizing that other things could pull you out of the house too. It's not just I'm stuck here because this is how I feel. So if your excitement outweighs your anxieties, that's how you build a good program. And that's why we do stuff backstage at the Grand Ole Opry, and why we write with these hit artists and writers, and why we throw our programs up at the best art schools in the country. It's because we want to make sure that people are willing to leave their house and come to our program. That's why we build our programs that way.
And that's what we were talking about. Like, it's different than like going into like a group therapy session. Everybody's just kind of, it's like working out, right? Everyone has their own thing that they do when they go to train for whatever they're doing.
The peer thing is so important. So even though in the art program, there's a group of veterans there, but they're doing one-on-ones with me or the other veteran instructor, and then they're working by themselves. And if they want to allow the other people to see their work, so it's very much one-on-one, but you learn as a group. So learn as a group, the songwriting or the art form of it. But when you're doing your actually down and dirty work for you, it's independent. And that's what I want people to understand. You get your own dorm in Chicago or wherever else we're going. Like, it's a single room. Legitimately, the whole program's you by yourself. If you want to put your headphones in, you can. It's going to be awesome. But don't, like, I just want to make sure people know that.
So as we kind of wrap up, because I know we're getting to the end, Richard, I want to ask one final question. How are you a better battle buddy today than yesterday?
I mean, I know so much more about not even my needs, but a lot of other veterans' needs, because I get to hear these veterans one-on-one what they struggle with. And it's honestly kind of cool that I get to see the inside of these brains of Army cooks and Navy medics and, you know, combat infantry and all these people, because I get to see the full spectrum and I get to utilize that for my own battle buddies as I reach out to them and I talk to them. And I get to meet other people from VSOs who are doing stuff that I never even thought about that now I get to share with my friends.
Absolutely. And then as we talk about sharing, where can people go to connect with you and learn more about Creative Vets?
Yeah, they can go to creativevets.org. It's one V, so it's all one word, spell out creative and then put TS at the end. But honestly, listen to our music. You'll find out real fast that we're the real deal and that there are veterans in the room with this music. We have over 40 songs. I think it's like 46 songs released. You can stream it for free on Spotify, Amazon, all this stuff. But definitely follow us on Instagram. It's probably our most active page.
And we will make sure we link not only the Instagram, but also the link to the music in the show notes for this episode. Richard, thank you so much for sharing your methods, your strategies, your tactics. And most importantly, thanks for having our six.
Thank you, sir.
Hey Sixers, did you know the Got Your Six podcast is now streaming every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern on Wreaths Across America Radio, available on the iHeartRadio app, the Audacity app, and the TuneIn app. Just search the word Wreath. You got something out of this? Be a battle buddy. Share with a friend, pass it along. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, make sure you leave us a review and give us as many stars as you think we warrant, because we love what we do here at the Got Your Six podcast. We're always adapting and evolving this podcast because of you, the Sixers. And if you're listening on Spotify, hit that follow button. You'll never miss an episode when we drop new ones every Monday.
I don't know what you've been told, Sixers, but the lawyers would like us to remind you that the views, opinions, and comments expressed on the Got Your Six podcast are solely those of the hosts or guests, to include current and previous Department of Defense employees, and should in no way be considered the opinions of or endorsements on behalf of the Department of Defense or any of its components, divisions, contractors, or other current and previous staff members.